We concluded our series on forgiveness last week, and we usually follow that up with our message on gossip and how destructive gossip is and how it's not God's will. And we call this message, Watch What You Say. Watch What You Say. And so we're going to go through it today, and I just want you to pay close attention, because there seems to be some confusion over what gossip really is, and a lot of the preachers that are telling people not to gossip are finding out they're the gossips.
Right.
Because they don't know what gossip is.
Right.
And so we're going to define it. We're going to define it so you know exactly what it is, you know exactly how the Bible feels about it. I took the time last night as I was going back through these notes, and you should do this. You should do this. You should take the time. If you want to be a Bible scholar in the 21st century, you need Google. Google will make you a Bible scholar. Go to Google and then just put in your search engine. What does the Bible say about gossip? And watch how many scriptures come up. Watch how many scriptures come up. How many times the Bible deals with the issue of gossip. It's a serious issue, and the Bible deals with it over and over and over again. All right, so let's jump right into this. Next, please. James 3, verses 2 through 10 is our principles text. It says, "For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put bits into the horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity." Let me stop right there. Does anybody know what iniquity is?
Deep-rooted sin.
That's a good definition. Deep-rooted sin. Iniquity is that determiner that's in you that determines what kind of sin you're going to get into. So he says, the tongue is a fire. Listen to this, the next line. The very world of iniquity. That's the tongue, all right? The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way." It's clear that James didn't think that much of the tongue, did he? And he, over and over again, he talks about the tongue. If you go, just read through the book of James, which we're doing on Tuesday nights. James talks about the tongue and how the tongue is a small member. Now here in our text, he said it's a small member. He said, but it's set on fire of hell.
Yep.
He said the very world of iniquity is in our tongue. Right? Let me before I move forward, I'll put some things in my notes here that I just want to mention to you. We completed our forgiveness series, and in our forgiveness series, we learned that unforgiveness is the most harshly punishable sin a believer can commit. That when you don't forgive, it so displeases God that it is the harshest punishable sin for a believer. What I want you to see is that gossip, on the other hand, may be the most harshly punishable sin by the church. Unforgiveness, the most harshly punishable sin by God. Gossip, the most harshly punishable sin by the church. Now, I'm going to show you in a minute why I say that, but you have to understand that we're talking about if we do things the Bible way. You know, I had a couple conversations this week with a couple of preachers, and they were asking me questions, and I said, the problem is we have to do things the Bible way. They said, well, why is this way? Because we're not doing things the Bible way.
Right.
In other words, we've become people that think we know more than God and we know better than God. And so therefore, we want God to accept our way of doing things. We want God to accept our brilliant idea. Forget about the fact that the Bible has existed now for over 3,000 years. It stood the test of time. It's proven to work over and over and over again. God, I got a really good idea. You need to try this. If you are who you say you are, you'll listen to me on this one. So let's get into this. Next. Gossip is treated more severely than most sin. Gossip is treated more severely than most sin. That it is so deadly, it is so dangerous that the Bible has a whole different category of how you deal with it. All right? No matter what other sin people get involved in, the Bible has a four-step process for dealing with it. We just read Matthew 18. That was the principal text for the forgiveness message, right? But in Matthew 18, it lays out the four-step process for dealing with sin in the life of a believer. We'll get into it. Come on. Next. Here's the definition of gossip. Gossip is talking about someone with the purpose of putting them down in the eyes of someone else with no intention of doing anything about it. That's from our friend Dr. Bruce Hebel, the author of the book Forgiving Forward. He said, gossip is talking about someone with the purpose of putting them down in the eyes of someone else with no intention of doing anything about it. The very fact that you're talking about it, you're not making a plan to do anything about it, means you're gossiping. The very fact that you're talking about it, knowing that it'll hurt that person's reputation, means you're gossiping. I'm gonna use Cordray and I. You know, if Cordray and I have a problem, right, then if I go to say Kevin and talk about it with Kevin, Kevin can't fix this problem. Kevin ain't got nothing to do with this problem. I got to go with, because of my position. See what I'm saying? Because of my position, I got to go with somebody who's got the same kind of call on my life that I have. Let me help you. I had to tell somebody this week. They were asking me, they said, how do you deal with it? They were having a problem with a leader, and they said, how do you deal with it? It was a senior pastor. They said, how do you deal with this, and this? I said, you very graciously go to them, tell them that it's a problem. I said, if they don't address it, there's nothing more you can do other than to go to their pastor and try to get their pastor to address it. They said, why? I said, because the way God does things, God doesn't correct from the bottom up. He corrects from the top down. God is a God of order. God is a God of order. And so once you bring it to their attention, you've done your job. You've done what you're supposed to do. Now, let me, because I feel like I just had to clarify some things. There is absolutely nothing wrong with seeking godly counsel. The Bible says in the multitude of counsel, there's much safety. That's what the scripture says. So, like the young man who called me this week, he called me because he knew he could talk to me about it. And it wasn't going to go anywhere. You understand? He was trying to come up with a plan to do something about it. He wasn't trying to make that person look bad in my eyes. He was saying, how do I deal with this? You getting the difference?
Yes.
All right, let's move on. Next. All of the sins adultery, fornication, greed, etc., are subject to a four-step disciplinary process according to Matthew 18, 15 through 17. Matthew 18, 15 through 17 says this. It says, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector. And I told y'all, I said, what I find interesting is Matthew wrote this. Matthew had been a tax collector. So he knew how they hated tax collectors. He knew from firsthand experience.
Right.
So when he said, let him be to you as a tax collector, he was literally saying, treat them like you treated me. Are you hearing me? Why? Because they will not receive godly counsel and they will not repent. Next. So what's the four-step process? How does the Bible tell us to deal with all other sin? Number one, you confront your brother. So this whole idea that can't nobody judge me but God, it's a lie from the pit of hell. This whole idea that I'm free in Christ and can't nobody tell me nothing is a lie from the pit of hell. Because the Bible is clear that as the body of Christ, we have a responsibility. If I see you doing something that is going to destroy your testimony, it's going to destroy your life, it's going to destroy what God is doing for you, I have a responsibility, according to the scripture, to come to you and tell you, hey, what are you doing? Do you realize what's happening here? Now, how I come to you is important as well. The Bible tells us, I believe it's in Galatians, that if a brother is caught in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such one in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself. In other words, before I come to you, I got to put myself in your place and ask myself, how would I want somebody to address this with me?
Yeah.
So that I don't come off judgmental like I'm better than you.
Right.
Just because I don't have the same problem as you don't mean I'm better than you. Because I don't have that problem, but guess what? I got two more. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
So step number one, confront your brother. Now notice, we said confront your brother. We're talking about believer to believer stuff here.
Right.
We're not talking about, see, one of the things the church has got wrong, they keep preaching stuff that's for the believer to the world.
Right.
Listen, getting mad when sinners sin is like getting mad when dogs bark. You knew it was a dog before it barked, right? Sinners do what they do. And so the only thing the Bible says to the unbeliever is repent and accept Jesus. Okay, here we go. So, number two. If your brother won't hear you, take two or three witnesses. Now, when it says take two or three witnesses, it's talking about you going and finding two or three other mature people. Two or three other mature people. All right? Two or three other mature people. Two or three other mature people. Mature. Mature. Here's what we're talking about when we say mature. Somebody who understands this is not a gossip session.
Right.
Somebody who understands we're not trying to hurt this person. Somebody who understands this person is important to the community, and the only reason we're talking about this is because we see their importance and they can't see the danger they're in. Are you hearing me? If they don't listen to you and the two or three witnesses, step three, tell it to the church. Now, this doesn't mean you call your own private meeting.
Come on now.
The Bible says tell it to the church. And I got to go tell it to every individual member. Did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear about Pastor Everett? We got to pray for him. That's what they do when they try to spiritualize. We got to pray for him. Child, what's wrong now? What do you do now? What do you do now? We got to pray for him. You just don't know. I can't get into the details because I'm trying to live saved, but you just don't know. No, when it says tell it to the church, here's what you do. You go to the leadership of the church.
Yep.
You go to the elders, the deacons. And you say, hey, if the problem's with me, if the problem's with the senior pastor, you go to the elders and the deacons. Hey, this is what's going on. This is what I'm perceiving. Am I right or am I wrong? I've taken two or three witnesses. He wouldn't hear us. So am I right or am I wrong? What do we do next? Are you hearing me?
Yes.
By telling it to the leadership, you've told it to the church. Now, don't get me wrong. There was a time, I can remember the time. There was a time when churches had court sessions. And if people refused to repent, the pastor would call them up to the front of church, and the person would come and say, "This is what I saw," and then they would have two or three witnesses say, "Yeah, I saw it too." And the pastor said, "Brother, what do you got to say for yourself?" And they're lying on me. Oh, wait a minute! Did y'all follow the protocol? Yep, I went to him. I told him I would pray with him. Told him I would help him. Then I went and took these two or three brothers with me. They're a good report. He wouldn't hear us. So now we brought it to the church. He still won't repent. And here we get to number four. If he won't hear the church, treat him as an outcast. In other words, if he refuses to repent, you no longer receive him as a brother in the faith. Hard stuff, isn't it? Doesn't sound like that old loving, flowery, dandelion handing out Jesus they talk about. the hipster Jesus with the sandals and the long hair and the tattoos. Well, somebody said the other day, they said Jesus was tatted. I said, oh, I didn't see that in the Bible. I didn't see that. Next. For gossip and slander, the Bible has a two-step process. Now, we told you that was the four-step process for all of the sin, right? For gossip and slander, the Bible only has a two-step process according to Titus 3:10. Let's go. Next. Titus 3:10. Reject a factious man after a first and second warning, knowing that such a man is perverted and is sinning, being self-condemned. Now, I want to go back to verse 10 because I want to tell you something here. The word factious, the word that's translated factious, literally means troublemaker, someone who stirs up discord. But the word, from the word, the Greek word that was translated factious, guess what word we get? Heresy. Heresy. And so you said, well, if factious means heresy, why are we talking about factious when it concerns gossip? Because gossip is heresy. Gossip brings discord. Gossip tears down. So now, it says, give them one or two warnings. The other way, we have a four-step process, right? Cordray, keep gossiping. First time.
Now look, you're making people get up and leave.
Sometimes that means you're preaching good.
Do you want water? Is that going to take too
words you repeat gossiping, first time, I'm going to tell him, stop it. Knock it off. Second time, I'm going to tell him, this is your last warning. This is your last warning. We're not going to keep going for this. If that happens after that, because he's gotten one or two warnings, then the next time, I need you to find another church. I need you to, because I can't allow one gossip to stay here and destroy what God is trying to do. All right. Next. All right, so let's look at the kingdom view of gossip. How does the kingdom of God view this subject of gossip? Next. First thing I want you to remember is that the kingdom of God is first of all pure. The kingdom of God is pure, meaning it's righteous, it's holy. Okay? And just because you have a bad experience in the church, that doesn't change the kingdom of God. Are you hearing me? Because your bad experience in the church has never hurt anybody. Mm-hmm. Your bad experience in church was about people.
Amen.
It wasn't about the church, it was about people. Okay? So the kingdom of God is first of all pure. Second, gossip is a major weapon in the arsenal of hell.
Yep.
Here's how it's described. It's a whispering, a secret slander
mm-hmm.
of the magical murmuring of a charmer of snakes. Mm-hmm. Speech injurious to another's good name. To speak against, to speak evil of, backbiting, to defame, or to belittle. Child, did you hear? I was asked one time to do a homegoing memorial service for a lady she had just passed. I didn't know the lady. I didn't know her. But her daughter was our neighbor, and she contacted me. She said, you're the only pastor, I really know, and I was wondering if you'd be willing to do this. And so I said, sure, I'll do it. I knew nothing about the lady. Okay, I had to ask her what was her mama's name. You know, I had to get some details, but I don't know nothing about it. So Carol was sitting here wondering. Carol usually doesn't go to these things with me, but this one, she said, oh, I'm going because I want to see how you're going to handle this. So I got there. This is what I did. I got there a little early, and I would just go around and introduce myself to people. And I would say, tell me your favorite story about so-and-so. And they would start telling me their favorite story. You know what I heard over and over and over again? She really loved some good gossip. Now, here's what they would say. They would say, she really loved Jesus. She would spend all day watching Christian TV because she was sick, and all she could do was sit there and watch TV. And all she wanted to do is watch TV about Jesus. Then they would end by saying, but she really loved some juicy gossip. She really loves some juicy gossip. This is how we are. This is how we treat this. We treat it like it's not important. But it's important to God. If it weren't, the scripture wouldn't talk about it so much. It wouldn't tell us so much to avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it destroy whole churches.
Yep.
I've seen it destroy whole communities.
Yep.
Next. The Bible also defines gossip as not only those who say it, but those who listen to it, according to Proverbs 17:4. Not only those who say it, but those who listen to it. This is why you have to make a determination. You have to make a determination that my ears are not a garbage can. I'm not going to let you deposit all your junk in my ears. I don't care what you heard. I got this from a good source. You don't understand. I got this from a good source. I don't care. Next. Here's what Proverbs 17:4 says. An evildoer listens to wicked lips. A liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. So you want to listen to gossip, you become an evildoer and a liar. This is why You have to understand when a person starts, I tell people all the time, don't talk to me about something you're not trying to do nothing about. I don't want to hear it. If it's not important enough for you to make a plan, then guess what? You don't need to be talking to me about it. See, that's how you keep people from dumping in your ears all the garbage that they want to blow out on you. Next. All right, so we're going to go over the sources of gossip. According to James 3, 5 through 7, the number one source of gossip is hell. Read it in your spare time. James 3, 5 through 7, the number one source of gossip is hell. Next is jealousy and hatred and desire for position. You'd be surprised when people want to get a position, how they'll lie. And how they gossip and slander. Trying to destroy somebody else's good name just because they... Now listen, if you go through all of that, what makes you think I'm going to choose you?
Right.
Even if I don't want them no more, that don't mean I'm going to want you.
Right.
But you're lying, so. The next source is laziness and stupidity. It's easier to tear down than it is to build up. We've got several scripture references. 1 Timothy 5:13, Proverbs 10:18. All these scripture references will be on the website. You all need to go look them up. You need to know what the Bible says about this stuff. Next. Ignorance. You just don't know any better. That's why we teach this message every year, so that you'll know better. So that you can't declare ignorance. Y'all ever heard the expression, ignorance of the law is no defense?
Yes.
Guess what? God's going to hold you accountable. Are you hearing me? So you got to understand. 1 Corinthians 6:19 is the reference for that. Next. So here's some different types of gossip. I'm just going through this because I see I'm almost out of time. Here's some different types of gossip. Mean-spirited. Meaning, you know when you start telling the story, you were doing it to tear somebody down. You knew when you started telling the story that you were trying to destroy somebody's influence.
Yeah.
You knew before you dialed my number, I'm going to call Pastor Everett because he'll give me good counsel. You knew. You were being messy.
Yeah.
Next, the illusion of innocence. Now, these are the folks. These are the folks who want to get all spiritual. We really need to pray for Kim. We need to pray for Kim. Her. Have you ever heard about her and Michael? Never heard. Oh, they need our prayers so much. You know. Well, what's going on? Well, they told me in confidence, so I really can't talk about it in detail. But let's just say you need to pray for their marriage because, you know. See? Trying to cloak it in innocence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Christians are good for this one. Christians are good for gossiping in the name of the Lord. Next, you have social and recreational gossip. These are people who just gossip. Well, they just enjoy it. They gossip like people play Monopoly. I don't know why I enjoy this so much. Have you ever noticed the people that enjoy social and recreational gossip, the people that just gossip, like you can't ever talk to them when they're not sinning. So, have you heard? That's their key. Have you heard? But soon as people start talking about them, it's like the worst offense in the history of mankind. Now, wait a minute. You spend all day, every day, tearing everybody down. And somebody told the truth about you,
amen,
and you over here ready to kill somebody. You over here loading your gun. I'm going to get on. Next. Passive or enabler. Passive or enabler. What is this? Constantly find themselves in a position of hearing gossip. The majority of gossip would stop if these folks would just position themselves better. Scripture, Romans 16, 17, Proverbs 20, 19. What do I mean by this? If they would just position themselves better. If you would make the determination, my ear is not a garbage can. I've literally, a person called me one time. He was a bishop in the Lord's church. He called me and he said he'd gone through a bad time in his life. And he called me and he asked me, he said, "Are you still friends with so-and-so?" I said, "Yeah, why?" And now keep in mind, we hadn't talked in a number of years. Okay? But he calls, I'm thinking he's calling to check in with me just to see how I was doing. And he says, "Are you still friends with so-and-so?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "We're still friends, why?" He said, "Did you tell him anything about my divorce?" Y'all, I had to repent. I lost it. I lost it so quick until I had to repent because, see, I have a zero tolerance for this. And I literally said to him, I said, "We haven't talked in over 2 years and you calling me chasing down gossip?" I said, "Like you haven't known me for 20 years? You've known me for 20 years." I said, then they really got personal. I said, "What do I care that you're divorced? Why would I even be discussing the divorce? I'm trying to save my own marriage. I'm on my way home right now." I'm on my way home right now to apologize for him. I don't even know I did. When you call me, ask me. But what I'm trying to get you to see is, that was the last time I got that kind of phone.
Yeah.
I nipped it here in the bud. Right. You can't, somebody try to call and talk to me about somebody I know personally, intimately. I'm not talking about I know their name. I know them.
Right. Yeah.
Then if you've got a problem with them, that's your problem. But what you're saying about them, that is not true. That's not who they are. I don't want to hear it. Okay. Next. The whiner and the complainer. Usually whiners and complainers are gossiping because they want things their way. They think everything in the world is supposed to be like Burger King. Have it your way. Have it your way. Y'all too young to remember that song, huh? "Oh, the pickles, oh, the lettuce, special order, don't upset us. All we ask is that you let us serve it your way."
Wow.
Let's see. Thank you, Barb. Thank you, Barb. Somebody here old enough to watch some regular TV.
That was retro.
Oh, okay. If you ever wonder why it doesn't get cold, it doesn't get hot at this church, it's because of all the shade trees that we have. Next. Keys to being a no-gossip zone. Keys to being a no-tolerance zone for gossip. Number one, treat gossip as if it is life-threatening. Leviticus 19:16. You guys really need to look up these scriptures. Replace jealousy with rejoicing with others.
Amen.
It's hard to be jealous of people when you're rejoicing with them.
Yep.
Amen.
You know, Don went out and bought my dream vehicle. And I had told him that was my dream vehicle. So, you know, I was tempted to be kind of slighted. "Don, you did this just to dig at me. You did this just to show you were better off than me.
You need to quit stalking me with that blue thing you're
So here's what I had to do. Because Don's my friend, I decided I would rejoice for him and his new car. I rejoice every time I see him in his new car. And every time he takes me for a ride and tells me how great it is when he drives to Florida and when he drives to Indianapolis and how he's never had a ride like this before, I rejoice. I tell myself, I command myself to rejoice.
And now I need you.
Yeah. He said, here. He said, here, Hope. He said, here, Hope, drive it. So I told him, I said, I'm trying to take you to the stone. Live life. Live your life as if there are no secrets. What does that mean? It means that you can't gossip if I tell it. If I tell it, guess what? It's already been told. And you can run and try to tell it if you want to, but by the time it comes back around, everybody's going to be disappointed in you because you're not a good source of gossip.
I already know.
I already told it. Ain't no secrets here. Life is what it is. I tell people all the time, people, yeah, you're such a good man. No, I'm not. I'm not a good man. No. Just know, if I don't pray, I will do some crazy stuff. I need Jesus every day. Jesus, keep me near the cross. That's my song. I'm telling you. If you don't know it firsthand, you don't know it.
Right.
And if you do know it firsthand, it doesn't necessarily mean you should be telling it. I'm telling y'all, please go look these scriptures up. There's a lot of meat on this bone still. Handle true things scripturally and with love. If it's true, like we talked about earlier, a brother sins, we know that that's true. There's a scriptural process for handling that. And we need to handle things that way and make sure that everything we're doing out of a spirit of love. We're the body of Christ. All right? Next, be bold and proactive. Be bold and proactive. What do I mean by that? In other words, don't be scared to tell people, especially if you're a member of this church, and you hear people gossiping, just tell them, hey, we don't do that here. We don't play those games. And don't feel any, because you have to cut it off before it gets started. Because once people know that you'll let it go, guess what? Your phone will be ringing all the time. Did you hear? No, because I haven't talked to you in 3 days. The only time I hear stuff is when I talk to you. All right. That's our time. Here's what I want you to understand. You know, we tried to add some levity to this, and we had a good time, and we laughed, and so on and so forth. But I want you to really understand this is a serious issue. It's serious to God, and it needs to be serious to us. You understand? We cannot afford to allow our inability to rule our tongue to destroy what God is doing. I'm telling you, I watched whole church movements fall apart because people were just running their mouth. Just running their mouth. Here's what people forget. Did you know that the Bible says that you're going to give an account for every idle word?
Mm-hmm.
Every idle word, meaning the words that you just run in your mouth, without thinking about what you're saying, don't have any purpose or focus, isn't benefiting anybody, isn't making anybody's life better. Bible says we're gonna give an account. Miggy did a thing in one of his stand-up bits where he said, when we get before God, it's gonna be like that commercial. And God's going to say, roll that beautiful bean footage. I never said that, Lord. Really? Roll that beautiful bean footage. I'm trying to get you to see it. It's a serious matter. We need to take it seriously. Okay? We need to be willing to. I'm willing to risk relationships. Keep people away from the dangers of gossip. If Cordray, now I've never had to do this, but if Cordray were gossiping, I would risk our friendship because I know that his soul is in peril.
Mm-hmm.
I know that he's putting his soul in jeopardy. Because that's how, that's it. Remember now, just like we had to tell you, unforgiveness is what?
Sin.
Say it again. Unforgiveness is what?
Sin.
Okay. I want to be clear. Gossip is?
Sin.
Gossip is?
Sin.
Okay. So there's no such thing as good gossip.
Okay.
We told you, James says gossip comes from hell. Does anything good come out of hell?
No.
Father, we certainly thank you for this time together. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for your word. We recognize, Lord, that your word comes to purify us. It comes to wash us. It comes to change us into the image of your dear son, Jesus. So, Father, right now I pray that the word will take root in the heart of the hearer, that it will begin to germinate and produce life. We thank you for the life-creating force that is your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Let's give the man of God a hand. You know, I don't know how I be feeling about doing the gospel message after the forgiveness one. But you know, I'm not gonna complain. It's a good message. I think that for me, one of the things when Pastor was talking, it was a reminder to be cognizant. I feel like God was just reeling back moments. And I'm like, oh man, I've been slipping. I've been allowing, you know, myself to participate in this. But it's always a good reminder, and I think that it is, it's been the wisdom of the Holy Spirit that has allowed Pastor to understand that these are messages that can be repeated.
Yeah.
That hearing it once isn't enough.
Yeah.
That these are things that are pertinent to our lives, especially in the time that we live in. Like, everybody got some tea to tell.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, living in a generation where you thrive off of who's doing what and what's happening in this person's life and things of that nature, it's good to be reminded that though it is cultural, it is not kingdom. And so we have to be above reproach when it comes to this thing about gossip. That, again, it still always amazes me that the world looks at it as just something that people do. But God divides it as sin. That it is something that can cost you your soul. That it is something that when you participate in it, that you are going against the will of God. You are truly in rebellion. So it's a good reminder. It's a good reminder. And while the word was good, while everything that we did today was good, we would be remiss in our duties if we didn't give you the opportunity to truly come into relationship with